I got back on drugs and didn't walk with God for 5 years because I had no discipleship. But for 5 years, I knew that that day Jesus Christ came into my life. And every day he was saying, whenever you're ready, whenever you're ready. And 5 years later, I said, okay, God, I'm ready. Some teammates shared the gospel with me again. But it was those guys. And sometimes you don't think what you do is going to bear fruit. You never know. So I noticed dudes walking around got saved from those guys on the street and that are, whose lives have changed. So I want to encourage you, don't ever negotiate yourself out of sharing your faith. Don't ever say, well, it's not going to work. They won't listen. You don't know. I was 19 years old, had a big afro. I looked like a blow pop. I was about 170 and bam. You know, these guys just walked up to me and shared the gospel with me and prayed. And I prayed right there. And it was like a 15, 10-minute conversation. And here I am today. So I want to encourage you to share your faith whenever you can. Amen. Amen. Let's get into the word. Let's get into the word. Let's see your Bibles. We got a lot to talk about today. Say word.
Word.
One more time. Say word.
Word.
Let's see your pens. Lesson plan, lesson plan, lesson plan. Let's turn to Exodus chapter 3. Exodus chapter 3. And you should be getting a copy of my book today, God in the Mirror, if you haven't gotten it already. And hopefully it blesses you and you promote that on your social media. We gave you a bookmark. Give a good review on Amazon. If you didn't like it, just give a good review. Lord, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for being good to us. And I pray that you would bless us today, encourage us today, teach us today. In Jesus' name, amen. I went to play for the Chargers in 1982. And there were some very interesting things I learned about professional football players that did not exist in college. One, at halftime of some of our games, we had some players smoke cigarettes at halftime in the locker room, which kind of was like a shock to me that the dude would do that. And one day we were going out to play a game, and we go out in the field and warm up. Then we come back in the locker room and get our last instructions, and then we go out and play the game. So we're getting ready to go out and play. And there was a guy on our team. He was 6'5". He had blonde hair. He actually was a guy who ended my own career. He ran into me and blew my knee out. But he was getting ready to go out, and every week he would stand in front of the mirror right before he went out to play, and he would blow dry his hair. For real. And I remember the first time I saw this, I was getting ready to go out, and I looked, and I said, nah, and I kind of backed up, and there he was, just blows right in his hand, and he'd walk out like this. In front of everybody. The brother thought he was the man, that he was just it. And you know, in a small way, he was. Every single one of you is a very unique, special individual, and there is no one like you. Last week, we started a series called God in the Mirror. It's based on my book, God in the Mirror. And God in the Mirror is basically about the fact that God made us all in his image so that when he looked at us, it'd be like he was looking in a mirror. And image is spelled I-M-A-G-E. And over the next 5 weeks, we're going to go over each one of those letters because each one of those letters represent one aspect of our God image. And today we're going to talk about the I, which says that each one of us is individually unique. You need to understand that God made you one of a kind in a very special and powerful way and for a very special, powerful reason. And I want to encourage you today to embrace that fact, but also to understand what it means and what it doesn't mean, because it could be very dangerous when you start to think, I am all that. You could take that too far. When I got engaged with my wife, I had to go buy a diamond. We all got to buy diamonds. For all the ladies in the house that have diamonds, say hey. All the ladies that want diamonds, say hey. So I would assume this was the first diamond I ever bought. I'm assuming that because I don't buy any for my, didn't buy any for myself. So I go to this jewelry store, and this guy named Marco, actually he now owns a diamond source in Old Town, and he was teaching me about diamonds, and he showed me the raw diamonds, diamonds before they're cut. You get them out of the ground, they look like rock candy. And he says there's four words that determine the value of a diamond. the color, the clarity, the carat, and the cut. And that all will determine the diamond's bling. Everyone say bling. Now, for all of you who don't know what bling is, which I hope nobody doesn't know what bling is the ability of the diamond to reflect light off of it. So if you look at a diamond and you got to do this, very little bling. But if a diamond's got blah, blah, you're going to be like this, give me sunglasses, because the light is shining and bouncing off the diamond into your face. The key thing about diamonds is that diamonds don't have any bling inside themselves. If you take a diamond into a dark room, no matter how many carats, no matter what the color of the diamond is, no matter how much brilliance it has, if you take that diamond in a dark room, you won't see anything. It needs external light to shine onto it, and then it reflects that light out, back out. That's the diamond's bling. Our God image is our spiritual diamond. It has only the ability to reflect God's glory back to Him. In other words, you and I, we are spiritual diamonds, but you don't have any bling on yourself. Now, you think you do. People think they have something that's wonderful that they gave themselves. You think your ideas are yours. Your hair is yours. Your wiggle and your jiggle is yours. Your smile, your intelligence, your creativity, your ability to do art. You think that's all yours, and you'll say, look at what I did. No, no, no. God gave all that to you. And God gave it to us for the reason and the purpose of reflecting back to Him His glory that shines on us. So when He looks at us, He sees His glory shining back to us because we don't have anything better to give Him than what He has given us Himself. And so our spiritual diamond, our God image, has five facets. I-M-A-G-E. We're individually unique. The M is we are a moral mirror. We'll talk about that next week. The A is that God gave us the authority to rule. We'll talk about that the week after. The G is that we're created to be God's friend and live in a relationship. And the E is that we're eternal. So today we're going to talk about being individually unique. Now, look at Exodus chapter 3. I call this first aspect of our individuality our I am factor, that God gave us an I am factor. When the Jews were in slavery in Egypt, God calls Moses out of a burning bush, and He says, Moses, I want you to go to deliver my people. Now, understand, Moses was born in Egypt. Moses was adopted by the Pharaoh, by Pharaoh and his family. Moses was raised as an Egyptian. At 40 years old, he realized he's a Jew. He ends up killing an Egyptian. Then he goes, he is a fugitive for 40 years. Now he's 80 years old, and he's walking around with some sheep, and he sees a bush burning, and the fire is in the bush, but the fire is not consuming the bush. So he walks over to the bush, and he starts talking to the fire. God's in the fire. And God says, well, let's look at chapter 3 of Exodus. Chapter 3 of Exodus. Let's look at verse 10. God says to Moses out of the fire, come now, therefore, and I will send you to Pharaoh that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt. Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Everybody say, who am I?
Who am I?
One more time, say, who am I?
Who am I?
You always have to remember that you alone are no one. God's not ever going to call you to do something because who you are. He's going to call you to do something because whose you are. Say, it's not about who I am. It's about whose I am. You belong to God. That's why you're special. And look what it says. Verse 11, Moses says, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? And God says, I will be with you. That's all you need to know. If God is with you, who can be against you? And by the way, if God is with you, who can be against you? It doesn't mean you always win. It means that if you trust God, God's will happen. But it doesn't mean you always win, because sometimes you're supposed to lose because you need to learn a lesson in the loss. Because it's not about winning or losing. It's about obedience. It's not about wealth, it's about obedience. It's not about being first or before that person or getting what you want ever. It's about obedience and God being glorified. That's what it's about. So if you didn't get the job, God's got something else for you. It may be less money. It may be more money. It doesn't matter. It's a matter of fact that God, you want to be where God wants you, doing what God wants you to do. That's all that matters. Matter of fact, I got cut three times, once from the LA Rams. I was sad. I cried. Then I got cut the first time from the Chargers, which was my second time. I was mad because I knew they cut me because I was a Christian. That's a long story, but I was sad the first time, mad the second time. And then the third time I got cut, I was glad. So I went from being sad to mad to glad. Why? Because the first time I was sad because I was lost. It was all I had. My whole life was football. I had nothing else. Then I was mad because now I was a Christian, and I knew they would persecute me because I was a Christian. And then last time, I was glad. Why was I glad? Because I knew God had something else for me. It was time. And so God took me through that progression, but it was the same thing. You got fired. When you get fired, your contract's tore up. No job, no money. Same thing happened, but every time it happened, I realized something different. And you have to understand, your life is going to have ups and downs all the time. All that matters is that you obey God. It's not about you. It's about God. So he says, look, I want you to go. He says, who am I? I'm not going to read the whole story about Moses, but he stuttered. He was a murderer. He was a fugitive. He was an orphan. He was adopted. He goes, Moses, it ain't got nothing to do about it. I'm going to use all that in your life. But here's the point. Here's the verse I want to get to. Look at verse 13. Moses said, indeed, when I come to the children of Israel and say to them, the God of your fathers has sent me, and they say, what is his name? What shall I say? In other words, God, okay, you're going to be with me, but who are you? What's your name? And look what God says. I am who I am. That is the baddest name ever. Ladies, can you imagine, you know, you're in Vons or, you know, you're at Starbucks getting your thing and some guy walks up and says, hey, what's happening, girl? You go, hi. And y'all talk and then you ask his name and he asks your name. He goes, oh, my name is Mary, whatever. You say, so what's your name? He goes, I am that I am. I always was. I am now. And I always will be. Here's what God said. I exist independent of everything you know. You don't determine my existence. You can't minimize my existence. You can't elevate my existence. I am who I am. I live and exist above everything. I'm independent of everything you know. I live outside of everything you know as far as science and physical things. I independently exist. God is the great I am. Say, God is the great I am. Now, you need to remember that. Here's what God did. God said he's going to make us in our image. Now, listen very carefully because I'm going to say something you may think is wrong, but then I'm going to explain it. God gave us a little bit of his I am-ness. God says, I uniquely exist above all creation. And here's what God did. He made the birds. He made the bees. He made the earth. He made the water. He made the land animals and the fish. And then he says, I'm going to make man, and I'm going to make man my ambassador over everything. And man is going to stand above all my creation as unique. And each one of those individuals is going to be unique from each other. So I want to talk for a few minutes about one, how we are unique over all creation. God gave us a little bit of his I am-ness. That I'm going to set you above all creation. Matter of fact, he told Adam and Eve in Genesis 1:26, I'm giving you dominion over all the earth. I'm going to let you run it. I'm going to give you the responsibility of running and taking care of stuff. Okay, first, how are we unique over all animals? I get up early in the morning, and in the last house I was in, I would get up and sit in the same spot, and there was a dove that got up and hoo, 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 every day at the same time. Hoo, 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 hoo. Right as the sun was coming up. And animals, they're like clockwork, okay? And this bird was going, and I would sit there and I would time it. I literally timed it. I was like, 5, 4, 3, 2. Same boring song. Hoo, 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 hoo. 5, 4, 3, 2. Hoo, hoo, hoo. Brother, get another song. Over and over and over. And I was thinking of birds, they sing the same song. We make styles of music. Animals and created things have a very robotic existence. They mate certain times of the year. We mate all the time. Plants stay in one spot. If you go back to where you grew up, for all you who don't live where you grow up, you go back to where you grew up, the tree that was in front of your house is still standing there. In one spot. There are some trees in Hawaii that actually walk, by the way. They're called walking trees, and they actually move over time, but they don't go that far. But pretty much plants stay in one spot. We get to move around. Birds sing very limited songs. We not only create thousands of songs, we create thousands of styles of music because we're like our creator. Birds fly at different heights. Certain birds are, you know, stay low to the ground. Certain birds are above the trees. Certain birds can go way up high. Every bird has a certain limitation. You know what God gave us the ability to do? Go to space. Fish swim at different depths. We can go all the way to the bottom of the ocean, 7 miles deep. We are so superior to animals in so many different ways, and they are very limited in their existence. Matter of fact, there's a dog across the street from the old house I used to live at. It was a beagle, and his roommate, the other dog they owned, was a mutt. And one day I heard out in the street, oh, 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 and I'm hearing this over and over, oh, 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 and I'm like, there goes the beagle again. Well, he got out, and he caught a scent of something in the street. So he was running from the light post to the fire hydrant to the manhole. The light post, fire hydrant to the manhole. Light post, oh, 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 oh. And the mutt, he didn't know what was going on. He was just following. I don't know where we're going. I'm just going to follow you. I don't know where we're going. But the beagle was like, he was programmed. I am going to follow this scent. Animals are so programmed. Look at animals' expressions. How many of y'all have a pet? Let me tell you what your pet looks like. Day and night. You got a bird? You got a dog? You got a cat? You got a monkey? It's illegal. Whatever you got, this is his face. I mean, you may have a little dog or frown one time, and where they go, that's about it. They're all blank. Look at Animal Planet. Every animal. And they're all very programmed. Plants are very programmed. The seasons are very programmed. And then he says, now I'm going to make man. And man is going to be independent of all that. Then he says, I'm going to make man individual from each other. Every single one of you, or we are born with 53 facial muscles. And those 53 facial muscles that you have can make thousands of facial expressions like no other animal. And by the way, every single one of those facial expressions is unique to you. Your dental, your teeth, unique to you. Thank God we don't have your teeth. Some people got some nice teeth, though. Some people got some jacked up teeth. But whatever your teeth, your jaw, your teeth look like, it is unique to you. Your thumbprints, unique to you. Your handprints, unique to you. The vein pattern in your eye, unique to you. Your DNA, your footprint. I could go on. Your voice, your smell. You have a body odor that's unique to you. Your breath, your perspective, God's purpose in your life. Do you know that when you die and go to heaven, God's going to give you a stone with your name on it, and the only person that's going to know that name is you? That God says, I made you above all creation, and then I set you apart from every other person. This is why this is so important for you to know, because the devil would want to reverse all that. He wants you to think you're nothing but an animal that evolved. You're just like an animal. You're dispensable. We can throw you away like trash. One of the reasons that you see so much death on TV, you're being desensitized. You're being desensitized. And as the years go by, people treat each other more callously, more like animals, because the devil wants to dumb us down, not to realize and not us to value the uniqueness, the I am-ness that you are. Because God created you to be like him, to exist with him forever. He gave you an I am factor. Now, here's what the devil does. The devil, will make you an I am imposter. Listen, turn to Genesis chapter 3. I'm not going to preach this whole sermon on Genesis 3, but I can easily tell you that if there's one sermon that I preach 10 times more than any other, it's Genesis 3. We're not going to get into the whole thing, but in this story, the devil deceives Adam and Eve to sin for the first time. And in this story, the devil uses his number one weapon, and his number one weapon is two-part. It's a two-part lie. One, that you can sin and get away with it, but more so that you can decide good and evil on your own. In other words, God made us in his image, and what the devil convinces us to do is to return the favor, make God in our image. In other words, God's going to be what I want him to be. Woo-hoo! God, and when God doesn't do what I want him to do, I'm not going to trust him anymore. When God doesn't meet my expectation, I'm going to take life into my own hands. You will become an I am imposter. You will put yourself in the place of God. Very subtle. God did not make you to put yourself in his place. He made you to be like him. But look what it says in chapter 3. It says, verse 4, the serpent, the devil, said to the woman, if you eat from the tree that God told you not to, you will not die. Basically, there's going to be no consequence. And by the way, let me stop there before I get to the next verse. Sin will always pay you death. I was at the hospital this morning at 3 o'clock in the morning. I had some respiratory issues, and I was getting a respiratory treatment by a respiratory therapist. So I'm breathing this stuff in and getting the stuff in. So we start talking, and the respiratory therapist, I said, can I see my lungs? The x-ray on the computer. She's like, I've been doing this 10 years and no one's ever asked to see their lungs. I go, why not? It's their lungs. So she's showing me my lungs and it's all clear. And I'm like, oh, good. Can I go home? And you know, you got to see the doctor. And we're going through it. So we start talking. And I don't know how we got on the subject, but she says, you know what? I smoke. I says, you're a respiratory therapist. And you smoke cigarettes? She says, I know. But you know what's going to happen if you smoke cigarettes. You see it every day. She says, I know. And every time I have a person, I got to ask them, do they smoke? But I smoke. But you know what's going to happen. She says, I know. You know what? Don't raise your hand, but how many of you are doing what you know is going to hurt you? Now the devil will tell you, it ain't going to hurt you. Oh, it is. Sin is going to pay you a price of death. But look what it says. Look at the next verse. Verse 5. This is the verse I want to focus. For God knows in the day, this is the devil talking to Eve. God knows in the day you eat, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. I'll read it again. I'll read it a little slower. And then I'm going to pause for emphasis so you can meditate and let it marinate on your noodle. For God knows in the day that you eat, that you sin, your eyes will be open and you'll be like God, knowing good and evil. God does not want you to decide good and evil on your own. God wants you to obey. That's it. I'm walking down the street. There's a homeless guy sitting in the gutter, and he says, hey, man, can I have some water? And I got two bottles of water, and I'm not thirsty. Well, I should give him one. No. God, what do you want me to do? Nothing. Walk by. I don't understand. That's not your job to understand. Walk by. Sorry, brother, I can't give you. Got to keep this water for somebody and keep walking. The guy behind me has one bottle of water. He walks by the homeless guy. Homeless guy says, hey, man, can I have some water? And God says, give him the water. Now, you might think, that's not fair. It's not about being fair. That guy needed to learn to give. I just didn't happen to at that moment. God had something else for my bottles of water. That's not for me to decide. I was in Mexico when I was a youth pastor with a bunch of kids, and I had a bag of shoes, and this little girl came to me, little skirt, 5 years old, give or take, no shoes, standing in the mud. Necesito zapatos, lo quiero. She wanted some zapatos. Okay, and I said, I got zapatos. And the Lord said to me, no zapatos. Don't give her zapatos. I said, God, you can speak Spanish? I've been working on that for a while. Can you help a brother out? I mean, you know. He did not think that was funny. So I said, those apostles. So the girl walked away, and then an hour later or so, she came back, and one of the kids in the youth group gave her some shoes, and she took the shoes down the hill. And I'm thinking, what was the big deal? Why couldn't I have done that? As soon as I was saying that to the Lord, the pastor of the church came out, and the pastor said, if that girl comes back, don't give her any shoes. I said, why not? Because she's not poor. She comes up here every time church groups come here with their clothes and shoes, and she acts like she's poor, and they come up here and get it for free, and then they go down the street and they sell it. It's a scam. That's not my job to know. My job, your job, is not to decide what's right and wrong on your own. It's to obey God. God knows more than you all the time. So when the devil says you can decide good and evil on your own, you can make right by yourself. You could actually change what God says is right, and you could change it. That's called sin. That's called the created becoming the creator. That's the I am factor, the person who was created in the image of the I am, becoming the I am imposter. Now I am God. How many of y'all are that person? You have become God. Oh yeah, this God up there, I'm not God, but I'm going to do what I want. That's being your own God. You idolize yourself. You idolize your intelligence. You idolize your experience. You do what you want. And then when it doesn't work out, you blame God. Because of course, God gave you the brain to make your own dumb decision, so it must be God's fault that you made your own dumb decision. Wow, that is warped. That's what the devil wants you to think. So here God is. God made you in his own image so he can, you can reflect his glory back to him and the world in a very unique way. And by the way, your individual uniqueness is so critical that you live it out, because God made every single one of you a very unique aspect of who he is. And so when all the people of God live and fulfill their individuality, then God is seen. When I was in college, I went to the Special Olympics. First time I went to the Special Olympics. And I saw people who had physical disabilities competing. Passion. I mean, passion. But they had physical disabilities. Some on their body wasn't working to the fullest capacity. The church is a body. But sometimes we act like we have disabilities. People with vision aren't seeing. People who are supposed to speak aren't speaking. People supposed to hear special things from God aren't listening. People who are supposed to serve aren't serving. And so the body is crippled. We're not being able to. Some of y'all are gifted to give, and you're not giving. You're talking about sharing your faith. We're all supposed to share our faith, but we don't share our faith. And so we're not operating at our maximum capacity. And God's saying, man, if only my church, every individual can be the individual that I called them to be. Collectively, you will be the church I called you to be. That's why it all boils down to just you doing your part. Be who God called you to be. Now, the devil's going to say, well, no one's like you, and you're going to be stand out. You're going to be different. Exactly. Exactly. Because what if everyone did it the same? That would be boring. Can you imagine if everybody in the world looked the same? I know, you know, some white people say, oh, black people look the same. And some black people say, oh, white people look the same. And all the Mexicans look the same. And all the Chinese people look the same. One, we all don't. But what if we did? Boring. What God says is, I'm going to make 7 billion individual diamonds. And if only they can believe in the value of their individuality and live it out, then the world would see who I am. My creativity. Ooh, that's how awesome you are. But the devil will beat you down and tell you no good, you're a failure, you're this, you're that, you're dumb, you're stupid, you're unhealthy, whatever. And you know what? Maybe some of that's true. But here's a good thing. God, Jesus, can return the I am-ness to you. Turn to John chapter 8. This is a good part. We're going to end right here. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8. Jesus is having a conversation with his critics, and he refers to Abraham, who has long been dead. And he says in verse 56 to these his Jewish critics, he says, And by the way, Abraham is the father of faith. Abraham had a son named Isaac. Isaac had a son named Jacob. Jacob's name was changed to Israel. So all the Jews come through Abraham. Verse 56, chapter 8 of John, your father Abraham rejoiced to see my day, and when he saw it, he was glad. Jesus is talking about Abraham, who's been long dead, and the Jews said, you are not yet 50 years old. You have seen Abraham? And Jesus said, most assuredly I say, before Abraham was, I am. Hey, Exodus chapter 3, what did Moses say? Moses said to God, what is your name? And God said what? Woo! And Jesus says right here, Jesus says, hey, before Abraham was, I am. You saw my brothers going postal, FedEx? Hey, right here. Those brothers went UPS on him altogether. Look what it says in verse 59. They took up stones to throw at him because Jesus himself went out of the temple and going through the midst, and so he passed him by. They took stones to throw at him because what they heard him say was that the God in the bush with Moses, the I am Jehovah, that's me. That's what they heard him say, because that's what he was saying. Before Abraham was, I am. I've been around forever. I've just been in this body 33 years, but I've been around forever because I'm the Lord eternal. The only begotten Son means the unique one. Jesus is the unique one. You and I are individually unique. When you ask Christ to be your Savior, He restores your uniqueness. He empowers you to be the person that He created you to be. He shows you your purpose. He gives you a new heart. He gives you a new purpose. He gives you new eyes to see, ears to hear. You hear His voice. You see His vision for your life. And all of a sudden, being a robot, trying to be like everybody else, and trying to figure out life on your own, now He is in you. And He gives you the courage to be you. He's not going to dumb you down and say, oh, don't try to stand out. The trick is that you be who you are according to His design, not yours. The problem is when people say, this is my life, I'm going to do what I want. Those people are in jail. It's when you say, Lord, I accept that You made me different. I was talking to some kid recently. They go, I'm different. And everyone looks at me, I'm different. Exactly. And for some reason, that's a bad thing. Even in Little League, everybody gets the same trophy. That ain't reality. Some people can play better than others. And some people straight up shouldn't be out there. And their parents need to go. Hey, my daughter, soccer, my daughter was horrible. The ball would come and she would just look at it. And I'm screaming, running up and down the sideline. I was out of control. And I knew my daughter was horrible, but I was trying to scream talent into her. I was just screaming. And the ball would come and she would just look around the ball. And there was another girl on the team. She might be on the Olympic team now. This girl was awesome. And I'm, yeah! And then one day, the next week came, and the coach had a meeting with all the parents. Oh, can we all get together before the game? And I'm just jacked up. I got my sneakers on, ready to run through the track meet. And he's like, we would like all the parents just to pick a spot and stay in that one spot. I'm like, what are you trying to say? Well, just say it right. Just say my name. Say my name. So I know those parents because I was one. Your kid ain't no good. They're no good at that. But guess what? It ain't the end of the world. They may be good at that. It ain't about what you want. It's about what God wants. Jesus Christ wants to forgive you of your sin. He wants to come in your life and show you why you exist. When I got saved, before I got saved, the San Diego Chargers would say, can you go speak to this little elementary school? I am not a speaker, San Diego Chargers. I'll go take a picture. I'll go sign. You know, I'll say, hey, what's up? I'll sign an autograph, but I'm not speaking to anybody. I am not a speaker. I got saved. God said, do you have any idea why I gave you that big mouth? In a minute, we're going to pray. Here's my challenge to you, is that you would ask Christ and allow him to have all of you so he can make you and transform you into who he birthed you to be. Because other than that, you're going to miss it. Even if you knew, you don't have the power that he gives you to fulfill it. And it starts with him being your savior, and then it becomes to the point where you surrender. Some of you have already asked him to be your savior, but you're still living your life your way. You're an I am imposter. You have control of your life. Let go. Let go. Let's all bow our heads and pray. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your faithfulness. Thank you so much for your goodness. Thank you for making us the individuals that you have. Thank you that you loved us to make us one of a kind. You made us to stand out. We should stop trying to fit in every day. But it must be on your terms. But some of us have control over our life. We are I am imposters. We are our own God. We're doing what we want. We think we can decide good and evil on our own, when in fact, we are simply to obey you. So in a minute, I want to pray and give you the opportunity to surrender your individualness on an individual basis, to surrender your life to the Lord. Some of you need to have Christ forgive you for the first time, but some of you just need to surrender because you have too much control over your life. You need to give it up to the Lord, so he can transform you into the person he birthed you to be. The amazing person he created you to be. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying, Lord, I want to be that person. I want to be the person you wanted me to be, not the person my critics say I should be, not the person my fear says I should be, or my doubt. I want to be the person that you believe I can be. And I know that's the right person, the best person I could be. So in the privacy of your heart, if you would like that, pray this prayer with me in the privacy of your heart. Pray, dear God, I trust you and I love you and I surrender my life to you. I, as an individual, surrender my individuality to you. Fill me with your Holy Spirit. I want to be that one person you made me to be. I want to know who he or she is. I want to know my talent, my strength, my purpose, my calling, and I want to fulfill it with all my heart. Eyes closed, heads bowed. If you pray that prayer in a minute, I'm going to ask you to stand up. If you're in North County, someone there is going to pray for you. We want you to stand up there as well. So right now, eyes closed, heads bowed. If you're saying, yes, Lord, I want that for my life, just stand to your feet and acknowledge God's forgiveness in your life. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. 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 Very good. We see you in the balcony as well. Stay standing. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. Very good. God bless you. God bless you. Very good. God bless you.